Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Now the time is 6:34 and I'm with Daryl Byrne, the Chief Executive of Euronext Dublin and our host for today. I'm also with Cathal Friel, the serial entrepreneur and founder of Raglan Capital, who has launched numerous companies here on the Dublin Stock Exchange. And Aidan Donnelly from Davy Stockbrokers is a familiar voice to any long-term listeners of Breakfast Business. He's been following companies listed in Dublin and all over the world for more years than he cares to recall, I'm guessing, Aidan.
A lot more.
And he also presents the podcast Everyday Business. Can I start with you, Daryl, please, the boss? I got to ring the bell yesterday, which is when a new company lists on the Dublin Stock Exchange. But unfortunately, the number of companies doing their listings of late, not just in Dublin, but worldwide, is dwindling.
That's correct. I mean, we have a lot of bell ringings, and it's for our bond listing business where we're number one globally. But you're right. I mean, I suppose at the moment, IPO activity is muted. But globally, I suppose the number of IPOs is down. I think across Euronext so far this year, across the Euronext group, we've had 25 IPOs. So activity, despite market conditions, activity is still strong. So we're doing a lot of work ourselves really to incentivize more companies to finance their growth through IPO, because it's not just about the money you get when you bring your company to the market. It's about your ability then to tap into the markets on a regular basis as your company grows. And that's, you know, organic growth, but also to fund mergers and acquisitions as well.
Yeah, let's bring in Cathal Friel, who has listed quite a few companies, including Fastnet and Amrit here in Dublin. Daryl makes a good point about the fact that the stock exchange is kind of a long-term investor, whereas private equity, they want to flip, they want to get out after, whatever, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, Joe, there's always been a lot of talk the last 10 years, the demise of stock exchanges around the world, not alone the Irish one. Australia said last week they had the lowest amount of IPOs in 10 years, and they're changing regulations. London last year was the worst year on record for IPOs. Mm-hmm. But that boils down to permanent capital. Public companies, the reason I IPO them, is the permanent. You don't ever have to sell. There would never be a Ryanair, a Kingspan, a Kerry Group in Ireland if they weren't public. Mm. The biggest companies in every country in the world are public. And the issue has happened the last 10 years, you basically have free debt. Interest rates were close to zero. And that meant people had big companies decided, why bother being public? They used private equity. And it's clearly private equity's days are over again, or that bubble has gone.
And is that because interest rates spiked and they are coming back a bit, but they were very high 2 years ago?
Absolutely. What happened is all over the world, the biggest private equity funds become bigger and bigger, the Blackstone, the Apollos, a lot of them. Mm. So basically you've had this, and the poor old Irish exchange, we're here in Ireland, say, oh, the demise of the Irish exchange. Every exchange in the world has its exodus constantly for 10 years. That is changing. Private equity, if you look at the American, some of the biggest funders of private equity is the American Diamond Funds, the Harvards, the Stanfords, and every one of them has 90% private equity, and every one of them are running into trouble. So I think I'm very optimistic. I'm a born optimist, and I think that you'll see a resurgence all around the world of IPOs, and that's permanent capital, and that's the growth of the big companies. They've got to start small.
Okay, let me bring in Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Private equity or private markets, they were the two big things in the last few years.
They were. And look, I think it reflects from the company's perspective just a whole much wider pool of capital that was suddenly opened up to them. That, you know, you look 10, 15 years ago, the private equity model wasn't developed, the private credit market wasn't developed. And what you've so ultimately seen is, you know, the other thing too, I think that's happened over that period is there was an awful lot of, you know, very, very rich people with lots of pools of capital in terms of sovereign wealth funds and things like that, and didn't want to get involved in the nitty gritty of having to put their bid in at an IPO, and just went in straight off to an awful lot of these promising companies and went, like, here's a big check and you don't have to go this way, you don't have to go that way. But I think Daryl raised a very interesting point. You know, everybody talks about that first check, right? And but nobody talks about in 10 years time when they need to raise more money, or 5 years time when they need to raise more money, you may not be able to go back to the person who wrote the first check. Whereas when you're listed on the stock exchange, you, the there is an availability of capital there all the time, every year. You know, it only ever the only thing that's a question is the price that you're going to raise it at, but the capital is always there. And I think that's where, you know, I think we start seeing more and more companies who have a longer term plan of needing capital resources coming back to the list on the equity market, because that's actually what it provides, a kind of a perpetual access to capital.
Yes, indeed. Okay, gentlemen, please stay with us. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be back in the trading floor of the Dublin Stock Exchange. Yeah, welcome back. It is 6:42 to the 200-year-old Dublin Stock Exchange. Well, the building we're in is not quite 200 years old, but it's about 175, where we're broadcasting live from today in Foster Place. With us is the chief executive of Euronext Dublin, Daryl Byrne, the serial entrepreneur and investor, Cathal Friel, and the longtime stock picker and podcaster, Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Can I go to you, Daryl, about the worries within the Dublin Stock Exchange and Euronext about delistings and how you prevent Dublin from losing its importance for investors and capital markets? You've written to the government, you've got a pre-budget submission. What do you want changed?
Okay, so with this, we sent in our pre-budget submission in mid-May, and I suppose we see that there's a real opportunity to enhance the role that equity capital markets play in terms of supporting the growth of companies, but also in terms of unlocking some of the money that sits on bank deposits here in Ireland. There's 162 billion sitting in bank.
Earning deposits. Nothing.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, you know, with low interest rates, et cetera. So if we can unlock even a small portion of that and get that invested in the real economy, invested in companies, that could make a massive difference. So, so with our pre-budget submission, in the programme for government, there's two commitments to work with the stock exchange to get the markets working again for companies. And we have the backdrop of the Savings and Investment Union, which is a very ambitious project at a European level. So with that, in our budget submission, I suppose, just to mention a couple of things we're looking for. So the first is to establish a savings and investment account so that some of that money...
Sounds like the SSIA from the the 90s.
It has that vibe about it, but actually it's more like the ISA regime in the UK, the individual savings account. So you can invest up to, 20,000 a year, in stocks, and whether that's individual stocks or through funds, but there's tax advantages. So no capital gains tax, no stamp duty, inheritance tax is covered. So it's very tax advantageous. And the point is that it incentivizes people to invest, and it helps wealth creation, and it's open to everybody. So,
and it's also, Cathal Friel, good for companies who are looking to get more capital, because there's, like, if there is 160 billion sitting in dormant or unused current accounts, let's unlock some of that.
Yeah, Daryl and Joe, I'm on the record for saying I'm a big supporter of the stock exchange, always have been. As Aidan said, it's permanent capital, but also comes to the private investor. We're all getting nothing in our bank accounts. Irish people kind of splashed a bit too much in property in the day, so they've gone away from that. If they want to build up their pension funds, build up their savings, look at AIB, went up 5x in the last 5 years. Look at Ryanair, went up 3x. Look at Kingspan. So the public stocks give you that extra return for your portfolio. Mm.
And sometimes dividends.
Yeah, absolutely. Dividends as well, on the way. So that's where I think that the government does need to wake up. You will never have the Ryanairs, the Kingspans, the biggest companies in the country without a stock exchange. Private equity has to change hands every 3, 4, 5, so you can't build them. I've said for the last 10 years, private equity was the big competitor, as Aidan says, Kim. But it's not. So I think the stock exchange, the Irish government needs to get real. If you want future success stories in Ireland, at the moment, you're dependent on FDI. And we know in the era of Trump, FDI is very wobbly. It's still here. But long term, the government's got to get the Irish stock exchange going again and getting people back investing.
Well, let's bring in Aidan Donnelly from Davies. You buy and sell shares for retail investors all the time. Stamp duty is the highest in Ireland in Europe.
Yeah, look, I think there's, and the most important thing I think in terms of this is to put in place the facilities where people can save and have that cash flow. But also then on the other side of it, try to break down as many barriers as you can. And when you look at, when you look at the changes we made over the years in terms of in terms of CGT bringing it down, everybody
capital
was worried that, the capital gains, when we brought the rate down, the government wouldn't see the revenues. And actually the revenues have been much entire post the low regime, because it just brings people into the idea of going, actually, do you know what, I can make returns. So even with things like the stamp duty, like, you just look around, there's so few places now selling, you know, charging stamp duty on shares.
But in Ireland they do.
And if you look at it, I'm sure as a revenue line in the government budget, it's probably very small. So would it really make that much of a difference if you got rid of it or cut it in half or, you know, whatever it is? So I think the
what's
whole
the resistance
thing
from the government? Because the people like the exchange and people like you have asked for this for many years, and yet it hasn't happened. And now we have the money.
I'm not sure whether it's resistance or whether it's just inertia, to be quite honest with you, in terms of the list that to get around in terms of tax reform in this country. I think because it doesn't generate a whole lot, and in their view, it doesn't impact a whole lot of people, you kind of put it down the line in terms of sorting it out. You know?
So capital gains tax is one of your wish lists as well. You want to increase the lifetime limit for capital gains tax, entrepreneur relief, by a further 1 million euro. What difference would that make, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is really around creating incentives for founders of companies, you know, that have put blood, sweat and tears and a lot of money into their company, so that when they bring their company to market, they can release some of the capital. The additional million we're looking for there, really, the point there is that if somebody brings a company to the market and IPOs, they can sell a portion of their shares and avail of the entrepreneurial relief. So it's that additional million is only if somebody brings their company to the market and IPOs.
Yeah. Is it still affordable to list if you're a small company on a stock exchange, especially in Dublin Stock Exchange? The costs may be relatively okay, but then there's a lot of red tape and legal fees and all that stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a process with going public, and there's costs associated with that. Having said that, we have four choices of markets here at Euronext Dublin, and our newest market, Access, is much easier to list, and it's much lower cost. And in fact, last year in the budget, the government brought in tax relief on IPO expenses up to €1 million. So it's not as expensive and as cumbersome as people might think. There's
Did
a perception.
Help? Were there many IPOs as a result?
Not yet, but I mean, you have to look at market conditions as well. What I will say is that our pipeline is strong, and the level of inquiries we're getting from both Irish and non-Irish companies is strong as well.
Okay, so it's not just about shares. There's also funds and bonds traded here in Dublin. In fact, you said that bonds are a huge bit of your market.
Yeah, so we're the number one venue globally for listing bonds and for listing investment funds as well. Across the Euronext group, we have 57,000 bonds listed. About 80% of those
are mostly
here in Dublin.
Corporate bonds, obviously.
It's a mixture of corporate, structured product, government bonds. So it's a complete mixture of bond types from a range of different issuer types as well, and across 100 different countries.
They're less liquid. They don't move as much, obviously, bonds, but they do provide a regular source of income.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a...
Carl, have you issued bonds here or funds here? We know you've issued, stocks and shares, but what about the other side of things, the more structured debt?
Yeah, no, I think that's, again, I think that was Stock Exchange, they're... should shout from the top of the pillars a bit more often that it is a wonderful success. Okay, it's just delistings, but it is the world leading centre for issuing of bonds. The companies I'm involved in, no, we don't do bonds. Bonds are really for much, much bigger companies, like a billion or two or three. I'm very much focused in the small set of seedlings, do the small cap IPOs, and hopefully that's an area where the government, I think, has to clear up some of the regulations. It is definitely much harder under Irish regulations doing the IPO than is in London or in any other Euronexus. But that's something, a stroke of the pen, the government can make it much easier. In the 70s and 80s, people forget, some years there was 10 or 15 IPOs that became much bigger companies. And I think, going ahead, I think there's no reason why you couldn't see 10 or 15 IPOs on the Irish exchange every year.
Stay with us, gents. We're going to take another very quick break and back here in the trading floor on the Dublin Stock Exchange. Yeah, welcome back. It is 6:53 and welcome back to the 150-year-old exchange building where we are broadcasting live from today. And I'm with the Chief Executive of Euronext Dublin, Daryl Byrne, the serial entrepreneur and investor, Cathal Friel, and the longtime stock picker and podcaster, Aidan Donnelly from Davies. I guess I could ask you, Cathal, do you have anything in the pipeline? You have listed five companies already. Anything in the pipeline we should be watching out for?
Yeah, we've done five. I always try and do one every second or third year. The last two was Poolbeg Pharma and European Green. That was last year. So yeah, definitely not this year. Next year, absolutely. I'm a big believer. It's worked very well for me. Public companies, as I said to you earlier, it's permanent capital, allows the companies to grow. So yeah, some stage definitely next year. I've got to drive the current two babies ahead. They are little companies.
Yeah.
One of our previous companies, Amrit Pharma, eventually grew to $1.5 billion. It IPO'd at 20 million market cap and went to $1.5 billion. That's
and
what
you obviously retained a few shares in that, did you?
A couple, yes.
Yeah, okay. You can get the points in afterwards. Daryl, it was a testing 22 and 23 with delistings from the Dublin Stock Exchange, and I'm thinking CRH and Spurfit. Did that upset the apple cart here in Dublin?
Yeah, it was a tough time for sure. But I mean, the reality of markets is that companies leave. I mean, we see it. Every market experiences delistings. You know, it was unfortunate for us that we had such large companies leave all in a very relatively short space of time. It was impactful, not just for Euronext, but for the entire market and the ecosystem here. Having said that, you know, our focus is on growth. And I think Colm makes a super point there in terms of bringing Amrit to the market at a 20 million market cap. I mean, historically, you know, the perception was, and I suppose the reality was, that companies came to the market when they were much bigger, much later stage. That model has completely changed. The Euronext model is bringing much smaller companies to the market so that they can fund their growth through equity capital and through the markets. And that's exactly what we're, and with the budget measures we're looking for, and with what we've done ourselves in terms of the access market IPO ready, we want companies to come onto the market at the 10, 15, 20 million market cap stage, and use the markets to grow. And even in our Milan in Italy, over the last month, we've had three or four companies come to the market with market caps of about 20 million, you know, doing fundraisings of 4 million. So the markets work really well for those smaller companies that want to tap in and have that capital there to grow for at IPO, but also on an ongoing basis.
I'm going to bring in Aidan Donnelly from Davies. While I have you here, can I ask you about why the stock markets globally are so sanguine in the face of a fairly hot war in the Middle East? And please don't use the same Anglo-Saxon used by Donald Trump yesterday when you're describing this thing.
Look, I think ultimately, you know, and it's always been the case that there's always issues and worries that the market has to get over. I think currently, you know, what I would tell you is volumes are very light in the markets. An awful lot of people, I think, having had a very tough first half of the year, have probably headed off to the beach in the Hamptons and things like that in New York. But I do think, you know, the market always looks and focuses on stuff that's right in its face, and it's trying to discount what that impact will have. You know, we've seen huge volatility in very short periods of time. You only have to look at the oil price and things like that in the last 48 hours. So it's not, I think, that the market is not factoring it in, but I think the big problem for it is that there's no definitive conclusion that it can actually price right now, because things are changing and fluctuating so much.
But they are erring on the side of optimism. That's what surprised me.
Yeah, equity investors love optimism. You know, that's what we are. We're indelible optimists. You know, but I think, look, the as I said, we're into quiet season in the summer. I think, you know, people are just looking, and I've certainly talked to a lot of companies. They really do need to see certainty in terms of tariffs. They need to see certainty in terms of geopolitical tensions. So, you know, that's certainly the feedback I'm getting, and that's what they want to see. Now, whether investors can kind of take a more sanguine view and just not worry about it, that's going to be the big thing.
Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you also to the Euronext Dublin boss, Daryl Byrne, the serial entrepreneur and investor, Cathal Friel, and thank you, of course, Aidan Donnelly from Davies.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.